Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Hour number two, Jesse Rogers, Mark Zander, till noon, 312-332-3776, if you want to jump on. We're talking a lot of Bears, a lot of Bulls in this first hour, and why not? Bears obviously still in the news, coming off their hiring of a new GM, a new coach, rounding out their staff. They hired a special teams coordinator today, so that's an ongoing story. The Bulls hosting the 76ers and Joel Embiid today at the United Center. That's a, I think, 2:30 tip-off. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2:30 tip-off. And, spring training is around the corner, as you mentioned before the break.
Right.
Well, we'll get back to some football. But, I mean, how disappointed are you?
I'm not surprised. Certainly disappointed.
That is
I had not
around the corner.
Right. I heard the dry humor there.
Yeah.
I wanted them to have a little more common sense. We're just coming out of a COVID season. You know, it's been COVID for the past 2 years. A little common sense to know what your fan base is going to, like put up with. I know the fans will always be there, but come on.
It's a tough call. I mean, I know what you're saying, but if you're the...
Read the room.
If you're the players' union, do you give in on some demands because you're worried about the fans? I'm just being devil's advocate. If you're the owners, do you say, okay, look, the fans are upset, we better do that? I don't know if you do that. I mean,
I would love to know.
I would love to have that happen. Both sides consider the fans, but
kumbaya, hold hands and say, let's do this for the fans. Let's figure this out for the fans.
That's not reality.
I know.
And it's just bad examples using regular life. If we're looking at Chick-fil-A here, if Chick-fil-A workers go on strike and management is, are they thinking, well, let's go back to work because people need to eat chicken? Or is management saying, let's give in to the union because we need to give people their chicken? I'm just saying each side has to do what's best for each side.
How much can baseball suffer from this type of climate?
A lot. It's already a sport that is going in the wrong direction.
And this is my problem, to where they need to both get their heads out of their asses.
If they did it collectively, yes. If they got in a room and said,
right,
we're on the verge of destroying this sport,
well,
let's cut
point,
this deal.
Jess.
I just, you know.
Well, it's not realistic, but that's my point, Abe. It can be done if they were able to see the bigger picture. And I'm just so surprised that they have dragged their feet. The owners dragged their feet. We thought they had plenty of time. And all of a sudden, it's crunch time now. Tell me about the mediator. What does that really mean?
Nothing. I mean, the union rejected it. It seemed like a little bit of a...
The owners called for the mediator. Yeah, the union said, no, thank you.
Right. They have to agree to it. It's a complicated matter. Why did they not agree to a third party is a legitimate question from fans. It's a complicated answer. The bottom line is the union is looking for major changes because of the way the system is run right now. Mm-hmm. They feel like it's antiquated. They deserve some major changes. I think a third party would probably come in and say, well, the system, you have a system, the past one, let's tweak some things there. And then start playing baseball again. And the union saying, no, we don't want just some tweaks. And the league would be happy with the status quo. So when one side is happy with the status quo, the other wants major changes, I could understand why they think a third party isn't going to be helpful.
Right. And now it seems like it gets down to the point of which side is trying to do too much in one swing?
Yeah, well, obviously it's the players.
Yeah.
Because what did I just say? The owners would love to have the status quo.
Right.
They would have the same agreement signed again. So, yeah, they're trying to get a lot done. That's the difference between a lot and too much. They're trying to get a lot done. That sounds doable. That's an okay thing to say.
Sure.
Are they trying to get too much done? Like, that's another thing. That's a negative way of looking at it. So I don't know what the answer is.
Certainly a concern for the fans. Okay, so do you... Have you, obviously, you're living this every day.
Mm-hmm.
What is the quickest path that they could possibly take right now if their heads were screwed on straight?
In my opinion, the thing that would affect their entire union membership, every single player, would be to both raise the minimum salary Would the owner say
the $25,000, that's all they offered
they're
a bump?
No, it was $15,000 from their last offer. $600 to $615. Anyway, it raised the minimum salary to an inflation-adjusted number, whatever that number is, and then also raised the CBT, you know? So raise the minimum, raise the maximum, and you could eliminate everything else, and I think you might be able to get the deal done. But it doesn't sound like the league is willing to infuse that much money into the pie. That's putting money into the bottom end, and that's putting money at the top end. But that does affect all union members, right. Improves their livelihood. But I don't know if the league's willing to do that. So would they do one of them? Raise the minimum significantly or raise the top significantly? Right. Because, again, these teams don't want to spend past this luxury tax. You know, maybe one of them would get the job done. I don't know. But this was my analogy yesterday. The league feels like they've addressed a lot of the players' needs. And technically, they probably have. But it's like when my kid comes to me for an allowance for the first time, I say, sure, you can have an allowance. Here's a quarter. Now, when someone asks her, do you have an allowance? They have to say yes, but it's not much of one. So when you say, did the league address five things that the union wants? Yes. Were they giving them a quarter on each one of those five?
Yeah.
That's where the union would say yes. I don't know what the answer is there. I'm not an economist, but it doesn't sound like they've offered enough.
And how quick, if they were to be able to make some inroads today, how quick could we get this back on the
tracks? Can move quickly. If they agree to the couple big things that they need to agree on, yeah, you can move quickly.
So when's the next time? When's the next time they're going to meet? Do we have anything?
So Tuesday and Wednesday, and I think Thursday even, the owners are meeting in Orlando. Now, this is scheduled. This is your normal. But obviously, with what's going on, that's the topic.
Yeah.
So I think coming out of that, we're either going to get a delay of spring, a major change in a good or bad way on their positions. So something is going to happen down at the owners' meetings. Manfred's probably going to talk down there. There'll probably be an official delay to spring. So the sides aren't meeting, but the owners are meeting. Maybe something positive will come out of that.
We've got Rick in Crest Hill wants to jump in and talk about the White Sox. ESPN 1000, you're on with Jesse and Xander.
Hey, go, go, White Sox. Hey.
I'm glad you're excited.
Jesse,
yeah.
How are you, man?
Good, Rick.
Hey. Oh, hey, it's good to hear you. And I listen to you often and stuff. And
cool.
Man, they're going all the way this year, though.
Yeah.
If they play. Well, hey, they better play. I'm going to spring training on March 13th. I'll be at that game. Hey,
okay.
They better be. That's my birthday. My kid's taking me.
Awesome.
Hey,
that's
pretty
awesome.
Cool. So, anyways, I just wanted to give you a little hey, go, go, White Sox, and be cool, man.
Thanks, Rick.
Congrats, you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you, buddy. See, that's what I'm talking about, Xander. Sox fans are not an all-time high, but compared to the last, you know, decade or so.
Lots to look forward to. And there are pieces that still have to yet fall into place once the lockout is done.
Yeah, they need to address a few things.
But he's excited, and I would bet he's so excited he would make the trip even if they aren't going to play.
There's no spring training on March 13th. He ain't going to be singing when he calls back.
No, he's not.
He's
not
going to be singing.
He may be in Glendale.
We're going to have to hit that dump button again when he calls back on his birthday and they're not playing baseball. My feeling has always been that they'd be in around March. Not always been, but my updated feeling is they'll be in around March 1st. But again, I keep pushing the dates.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not in around March 1st, then there's a delay to the regular season because they're going to need 3 to 4 weeks. And that really is a doomsday kind of scenario.
And
once
they get
the COVID
places,
seasons and all that stuff.
See, and that is the whole thing. It's like the owners, the union and the owners have to realize that this is the worst. Look, a strike, a stoppage of work.
Timing is really bad.
But the timing is horrible, horrific. Yeah. And hopefully in the winter meetings, with the man or the owners they're going to see that there are some ways to placate the union to move forward and let's get this train back on the tracks.
I agree with you. Hopefully coming out of those meetings, they say, okay, let's give them this big win. Let's just give them this win and see where that goes. Now, if they give them a big win and the union is continues to be, then we start to turn. Because most people are on the player side in this matter. I've tried to be sort of down the middle. But I think we all lean towards the players. They're the stars. The system is antiquated. Average salaries have gone down. How is that possible in a league where the revenues have gone through the roof? But they're not going to get five wins. Reality is reality. You know, they should try for a couple, and maybe that's what they'll do by the end of this month. Say, hey, we need this and we need this. Let's go play baseball.
Compromise. All right, John in Rockford wants to talk about baseball and the lack thereof. You're on ESPN 1000, John.
Hey, every time I get my cable bill, I cringe, you know, and I start thinking about MLB and the negotiations where the fans don't really have a seat at the table and what they're negotiating. And I think right now baseball ought to be careful because they're going to lose a lot of millennials. I mean, I'm in my 60s, but the young kids, they're going to lose a lot of the youth. And
it's been a challenge to get the youth.
Yeah, I think they have lost a lot. Yeah. And you're right, it could continue. But these are their livelihoods. I get that they have to worry about themselves as a union. I get that. I mean, the players, look, this is their livelihood for a short period of time. These owners are already billionaires. So that's why you do feel for the players. They're at the top of their profession. And the system is antiquated. They deserve a little bit more of the pie. I'm not saying they're all going to be, you know, begging on the streets, but they deserve their portion and a big portion of it because they're the money makers. They bring in the money. People pay to watch them play, so they deserve it.
They don't pay to watch the owners work in the office.
Please.
Thanks, John. 312-332-3776. You're right, and part of the negotiations on the player side is to raise the minimum because there's such a huge disparity.
Yes. Yeah. There's it's lagged. That minimum salary is kind of lagged behind inflation in a sense. So it's weird. It hasn't been a big issue in the past, that minimum salary, but it is this time around. And I think people don't realize the average life of a baseball player is about 5 years. It's about 5 years. We always hear about the big stars, the 10-year deals. Sure. But the middle relievers don't last forever.
The Correa deal is in no way, that's more of a unicorn than anything. So you've got a lot of players that play 5 years, and they make the minimum, and that's it.
Yeah. The Correas of the world,
you
the Bryce Harpers.
You hear the big salaries, but that's not
right.
The disparity is incredible.
And the guys from 0 to 3 years don't make a lot of money in this sport. You would think they would. We call them millionaires, but guys from 0 to 3 years, they don't make that much money.
Right.
They're millionaires after 3 years, you know, after taxes, all that. So, you know what I mean? Like, there's plenty of people in radio. You know, Tom Waddle makes more money than these guys, these rookies, right? So, but again, they're not going to be out on the street begging, but the system is a little antiquated. So the question is, where can you improve? We can't improve in five different areas. The owners aren't going to give up decades of progress on their end.
Sure.
Or whatever you want to call it. Progress of decades of wins on their end. But they might give up a couple things, you know, that instead of the whole system being overthrown, they might give you a couple things.
Well,
and that's
love,
what we,
I would,
that's where we have to get to.
It would be great to hear them kind of come to a bit of their senses and give the players a little more of what they're looking for to get this going, because he's right, John from Rockford's right. Millennials, there's already a challenge to get them, you know, to watch and be involved in the future of this sport. So let's keep playing.
Yeah, right. That's 15 minutes more than Tyler wanted us talking about baseball.
I'm sure. I'll tell you what. We'll come back after the break.
We'll play the hits.
There's the ugly side of sports. And unfortunately, we've seen a couple of points, and we're going to get to those.
We're going to get to that. Can I just dream? We mentioned this earlier. Can I dream of a Fields to Devontae Adams connection? Can the Bears pick up a receiver of that caliber? I don't care where you find it. Why does everybody else? We act like Mooney is the second coming because that's the best we had, or Allen Robinson.
We've always done that.
They're decent because we don't know any better.
That's right.
Find me Jamar Chase.
That's right.
Find me Devontae
Adams. That's right. Well,
find me Cooper Kupp.
They've got their work cut out for them, Jesse, and they better be working on a Sunday. 312-332-3776. It's ESPN 1000. ESPN 1000, Jesse Rogers, Mark Zander. Ugly side of sports, Jess. We saw a couple of different indications of that. It's always looming, but came to the surface this week. Brian Flores, former head coach of the Miami Dolphins, has sued the NFL in a class action lawsuit, which would lead me to believe that others may jump in.
Yeah, the possibility.
Yeah.
We've heard from other people that have kind of supported his you know, not theories, but his claims.
Allegations,
his,
yeah.
His claims. And so, yeah, maybe other people do jump in. Crazy that it came to light, starting with a weird text exchange, miscommunication between his former boss, Bill Belichick.
Have the right phone numbers attributed to the right names. I'm just saying.
That is definitely something I would have
Jesse,
done.
Jesse, as someone who has to text a lot of people for a living,
yeah.
Do you have a bad texting mishap?
No, not like that. I double and triple check who I'm texting. I really have not accidentally texted Rick Hahn instead of Theo Epstein or vice versa.
Right.
I have not done that because I make sure that I'm texting the right person. I don't have a mishap like that.
And
now, friends are different. Yeah, right. I've done that with friends and stuff, but not work-wise.
You know, Bill Belichick, I mean, there's a guy who you think is just really put together right with everything that he does, but mistakes happen or whatever, and certainly one of those things that...
I could see him not being, you know, he's
attention.
An old guy like the rest of us, and not knowing...
Hey, I saw him in the airport I was standing right next to him in St. Thomas.
Yeah, so
he's an old little.
I bet I could see him with the
old phone, and
old
he's got his glasses at the end of his nose,
so
doing the whole.
Probably
thing.
Probably doesn't have the contacts listed in there, or whatever.
Well, you got to clean that up,
it really ignited a whole thing here, and you know, I don't think there's any doubt Brian Flores has a point. He has a point. Whether the Giants did or didn't hire before his interview, I still think he has a point.
He definitely has a point, and the thing is. When I saw this, my first reaction was, you know, I just hope that this doesn't cut his career short because it's quite a brave stance. Now
I don't think it should.
No, it shouldn't. It shouldn't, no doubt. But I just knowing the world, right?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing is...
When you file a lawsuit, people tend to try to distance themselves.
I'm saying
themselves.
It shouldn't in a perfect world.
Right.
In fact, it shows that he has a lot of integrity and stuff. Now, I agree with you. The next owner that hires him might wonder, well, when I fire him, what's he going to reveal? Is he going to reveal? But you know what? If you handle your organization with integrity, you shouldn't be worried about.
If you have something to hide, then that's on you.
He's not revealing player personnel evaluations.
No, right.
He's revealing something that was really bad in his mind, being offered money to lose games. If you don't do that as an owner, you shouldn't be worried about him talking afterwards.
That's exactly right.
If you're
right.
One of these owners that works under the table, you may not want to hire him.
And you know, when you look back in how he was dismissed in Miami with a winning record, and he was a tough coach. I don't mind that. We had one of those in town. His name was Mike Ditka. He did okay for us. I don't mind the tough coaches. And when you read that, it's like, boy, that does sound like there's more to that story, doesn't it?
Yeah, for
sure. Firing somebody with a winning record.
For sure. Now, there's... You know, we did it here. Lovie Smith got fired with a winning record.
I know.
Also African-American, right?
Right.
So, I mean, it can happen. They did lose 7 in a row. They could have fired him right then, and they did. So there's all sorts of things that go into
it. But allegations
look,
are really...
The allegations are terrible. And, and when you look at the full picture, now you understand where Flores is coming from. But he probably should have been retained. Yes, he probably should have been retained because... After that 7-game losing streak, he obviously didn't lose the locker room. They went on a tear, especially when Tua got healthy. So, it is definitely a strange firing.
Now, we do understand that he is still in the mix for the Saints job.
And he is
in the mix for the Texans.
Yeah, good.
Too.
I hope he gets one of them. Hope he gets one of them.
Now, talk about what you think that would mean for the players on the team to have a guy like that after this guy. I mean, he's come out and he's drawn attention to something that should not be happening.
Right.
A great injustice. I think, and we were talking about this
off the air. I think players will like his integrity.
Absolutely.
I think they'll like that he's standing up for himself at great risk for his future if he gets hired.
And standing up for the future.
Yeah, I don't think it hurts him with the players if he gets hired. If he gets hired. What's possibly going to hurt him is getting hired because of an owner.
That's what I'm thinking of because you're suing the NFL. Does the NFL have that kind of influence over different teams to say, hey, you know, it's kind of a hot potato issue. Maybe we should look at something else. I hope that's not happening. I don't want to see that happen.
No, I don't either. But yeah, it's weird that he filed this Is it weird? I don't know for sure. Is it weird that he filed this while he's still looking? Like, in other words, maybe he did that on purpose so it didn't look like sour grapes. Let's say he doesn't get a job.
Mm-hmm.
Then he files. Does that look like sour grapes? He filed this while still up for other jobs. That takes a lot of integrity.
It does. It does. I thought the same thing, and I think you're right on point that if he did not get hired, he did that, then it is sour grapes.
That they would look like sour grapes, mm-hmm. even if he was right. The fact that he did this right away, I think you have to respect that.
Because Dable just got hired officially. Now he could have been hired before, and it was never, and that's what he's alleging.
Right.
But we just heard about that hire.
Right, but my point is he had that information, the Denver Broncos thing, the Dolphins firing. It's all right there for him mm-hmm. to do it, and he didn't wait. He went ahead and filed at great risk to his future.
And I hated the NFL's response right away. No
yeah,
merit.
That was weird. Right.
It's like, can you take a little time? Can you look into it just a little
right.
bit?
How do they know?
Don't throw no merit out there. And then Goodell comes back and says, we're going to double down. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Take care of that first.
I mean, let's work backwards from this premise. Is there any doubt in your mind, because there is not in mine, that some minority head coaches have been interviewed strictly to fulfill the Rooney Rule.
To check the box.
Strictly for that reason.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
So if there's been one that's been interviewed just to check the box, then that's wrong.
That's one too many. Absolutely.
That's one too many. They should be interviewed because they have a chance to get that job. And so whether that was the case with the Giants or not, we know there's been minorities that have been interviewed only to check the box.
You know, now let's take your experience in baseball. How does this compare? Baseball, are there problems like that? I'm sure there are under the surface, but nothing that seems to be so obvious.
Well, it's there, though. I mean, African-American participation in baseball has dropped. You don't see many African-American managers. I mean, there probably should be more Latin American managers because there's a ton of, and
that's the talk too, right? It's like, okay, the demographics of the game, the players.
Yeah.
Do the coaches and the management and the owners reflect all
of
that?
Yeah, I think, it's a little bit of an issue there too.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt that they don't get as many opportunities. Now, there's no Rooney Rule, but, Kenny Williams has talked about this issue. Yeah, I mean, every sport, I think, has it, right? It's just part of society. Where sports are part of society, and we know society has these biases. So,
not long ago, it was brought up the level of racism in hockey as well.
Right. So it's
everywhere, obviously.
It reflects society.
Yeah,
reflects society. But you got to give him all the credit in the world to file this while he's still interviewing for other jobs. That tells you he's willing to put it all on the line. Because he could have waited, and then if he gets a job, he could have filed still or not filed, whatever, but he did it right away.
Right.
And that is respectable.
And it takes somebody to make this type of, step.
Yeah.
To get it moving in the right direction. Because if this works out the way it should and it's acknowledged and the problem is fixed and it is obviously fixed, then this is going to help everything moving forward.
No doubt.
But somebody had to stand up.
Right.
Somebody had to do that.
And that's what a lot of people say. He's taken a huge, big step to make a difference. And hopefully it does. Hopefully it does. And it's not just, token interviews or whatever. And he seems like a competent coach, so I why not?
And going back on the Rooney Rule, that was the son of Art Rooney, mm-hmm. John Rooney, was talking about, came out and said, this is not what my father intended.
Right.
The box checking thing.
Right.
Obviously.
That's it. Yeah.
Obviously. And it's interesting. Obviously, Mike Tomlin's been in Pittsburgh for years.
Yeah. And done a great job. I mean, it's just, look, you should be judged on your merits and that's it. But we know life doesn't work like that.
The world is not that simple and it's ridiculous that it's not.
Yeah.
It should be.
Yeah. 312-332-3776, the number. So you want to get to the next scandalous event of the week when
we
come back?
This one really hits home because it's here in Chicago.
Yes,
and it turned
it
somebody that was a hero to zero pretty damn quick.
Oh, that's very good. Hero to zero.
Pretty damn
I like that.
Quick.
312-332-3776.
It's Jesse and Xander. We'll talk about Rocky and
not
the Black
Balboa.
Hawks. Next here on ESPN 1000.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what? So what? So what's the scenario?
Well, this week was tough for Blackhawks fans. Not like the ice product has been stellar at all. It's been a struggle. And then what happened at the town hall? Jesse, why do you hold a town hall again? What's the reason for that? Isn't the concept to welcome reporters and fans to ask questions? And when you're a reporter and you actually lob a question,
yeah,
and somebody can't handle that?
It really was a lob. It really was.
I think much of what happened to Kyle Beach stemmed from a power imbalance between a coach and a player and the powerlessness of a player in that situation. So what are the Blackhawks doing? What have the Blackhawks done? What will the Blackhawks do to empower a player in a similar situation to make sure that doesn't happen again?
I'm going to answer the question. Okay. I think the report speaks for itself. The people that were involved are no longer here. We're not looking back at 2010. We're looking forward. And we're not going to talk about 2010. I know, and I'm not either. And we're not going to talk about what happened. We're moving forward. That is my answer. Now, what's your next question?
I can pick up to what we are doing today. And I think
That's none of your business. That's none of your business. What we're going to do today is our business. I don't think it's any of your business.
How is it not my business?
Because I don't think it's any of your business. You don't work for the company. If someone in the company asks that question, we'll answer it. And I think you should get on to the next subject. We're not going to talk about Kyle Beach. We're not going to talk about anything that happened. Now we're moving on. What more do I have to say? You want to keep asking the same question? You hear the same answer? Okay, ask the next question.
I don't think Kyle Beach by name was brought up until he brought him up.
I want it like a psychiatrist to listen to that, because to me that's like...
You're right. He was ready. It was like he was so ready.
I feel like they canceled his favorite TV show that day, and he took it out on the reporters. Like, something else had to be going on. Now, there's these other lawsuits.
Potential lawsuits, yeah. And so, we talked about that, but I don't care.
He must have been having a bad day or something.
Act like a responsible owner that cares about what's happening with your players.
He says he wants to talk about the future. That's the question was about the future.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's just like, it's so insane. That's why I wonder, something else, he must have been having a bad day.
Now, Jess, you covered the Hawks when Bill Wirtz was still alive.
Yeah, Bill, and then
did
Rocky
not turn into Bill right there?
He did. I was talking to someone on the phone yesterday
I cringed. I had season tickets at the old stadium in the 80s. That was the day of Bill Wirtz and Bob Pulford and all of this kind of veil of secrecy and these mediocre teams and all of that. And despite all of that, we were all fans and we all cheered for the Blackhawks. Then Bill dies. We think Peter's going to get it. Then Rocky shows up with a cape saying the fish stinks from the head to, from the head down. And, he said all the right things, did all the right things, brought us management, that brought us a team that had a Stanley Cup run. He was a hero. Now, all of this happened with, knowing what happened in 2010, and we were told that he knew nothing about it. We're talking about Rocky.
And knowing how things worked over there, I believe he didn't know. I believe it.
Right, right. And so he still, his reputation was somewhat intact, even though a lot of this undercurrent was really horrible. Horrible. What happened?
He took a hit, but still. But I don't think people blamed him for what went down.
In that exchange right there, he lost all goodwill.
He did.
All 14 years, whatever it was, flushed down the toilet. And it's because he was ready to fight. He did not even listen to the question.
Because it was so insane.
That is a key about communication, right? You can actually listen to somebody and respond to what they said, or you can think about what you're saying while they're talking.
And that's why I really want to ask him what was going on in your head. Right. You could have answered that so easily. We have a HR department now that's been reorganized so players can go right to him. We have a hotline. Just make up anything.
Timing on Rocky's part, because that was the Hawks were the TNT game of the week.
Right.
And during intermission, here's what the guys had to say. It was Liam McHugh, Anson Carter, Rick Tocchet, and Wayne Gretzky talking about their reaction to what happened.
I mean, it's stunning, and it's beyond disappointing to sit there and say in a matter this serious that you're done with it, we're not talking about it anymore, that's it, we're moving on, and we don't have to share this information.
I would have liked to have heard what their plan is. And you saw Danny try to jump in there, and we were talking off camera about this. I wish Danny would have jumped in and protected his dad and said, hey, Dad, I got this. I'm now the new CEO.
He did.
I'm the guy leading this operation going forward. I'd like to hear from him and hear exactly what him and Jamie Faulkner, their president of business operations, would have to say. He obviously came in, like we talked about, Gretz off camera too, and talked that he had a bone to pick with that writer going in. So it didn't matter what he said. The writer could have came in and said, hey, guess what? Talk, you got a great jacket on.
Yeah.
He would still have that same reaction.
You make mistakes. What do? You talk about them, and then you do things about it. Like, you can't hide it. And I'm a coach. You know, I used to be a coach. Like, I want to know maybe there's ways of, hey, what would I do different? Or as an assistant coach, if these things happen, that's what you want to hear. Is there protocols to do it? So, yeah, I don't know if Rocky, I think he was upset about something else, and he just kept going. I would love to send Danny to have, this is what we're doing. I think yes. That would have been the positive spin. It's a little disappointed how that went down.
And I would think, you know, as a player, you know, if you're impartial, you're not a Blackhawks player, but you're watching this. I mean, you want a team that's willing to share that information and talk about it.
Listen, from every point of view, this is just a horrible scenario, horrible situation, what happened to that young man. But I'm sitting here thinking, as a parent, you're sitting there going, my son's 18 years old. He's going to maybe be drafted by that team. I want to make sure.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they do have things in place that are going to protect those kids moving forward. But obviously, as you said, Ace, there was some illness between the two before that meeting even started.
But, I mean, yeah, the bottom line is, first off, I like to point out, it's a town hall setting. The idea is to share this information with fans and people in the organization, people outside the organization. If you have a plan in place like that where you can empower players to make sure this doesn't happen, it just boggles my mind.
Yes, Liam, a town hall situation of which Rocky should never, ever, ever, ever do again. He should not have been on that panel. And
I don't know about that. He's the owner of the team.
No, Danny should have been talking.
Well, they both can talk. They both were supposed to.
Obviously, he's not. Obviously, he can't be
trusted. One's the owner, one's the CEO. Yeah, I
get it.
No, but until that moment, we didn't know that he couldn't be trusted.
Right. And now we do.
Now we do.
And the fact that he shut Danny up.
Yeah.
Danny and Jamie and the organization that he supposedly put in place have done the right things. We need to hear about them, both for the fan base, for the future players of the Hawks. Like Gretzky said, if he had an 18-year-old son, he wants to know what they're doing. No, so they are doing something.
Gretzky's points were very well taken. And you can even see they were searching, just like I was, for other reasons for this. Like, was there animosity between him and the reporters beforehand?
But even if there was, that's unprofessional.
No, I agree. It was so insane that you're trying to find... What was going on here?
You're trying to make sense of something that doesn't make sense.
And let me say one more thing. The answer, in all seriousness, I was kind of joking around. He canceled his favorite TV show. The answer might be that people of that stature, meaning what's in his wallet, live in a different world.
So out of touch.
Yeah, so out of touch.
So out of touch.
We see this with owners.
It's all about money.
We see this with owners in other sports. They live in a different world than the rest of us. And so to be challenged, how often does Rocky get challenged on something? Though he should know in a town hall setting he's going to be.
Right, I'll tell you something.
But that's probably the answer.
Now, we thought that Rocky was smart, and we've seen some things that supposedly would show that Rocky is smart.
For
moving ahead, he's got to not talk and give it to Danny and be done.
Right, he should probably.
I would hope that, and now, and I want to play this. This is Gary Bettman, commissioner of the NHL.
At the All-Star game?
Yeah.
I think what we saw from Rocky was frustration, an emotional, I think most media was calling it an outburst. And the most unfortunate thing about it is it's completely inconsistent with all the work that the Blackhawks are doing. A lot of personnel have left. Jamie and Danny, or Jamie Faulkner and Danny Wirtz, are really running things day to day. They're bringing in a wellness department. They're having training. There's counseling. They know that they have to do everything right to create an environment that has an open, welcoming, and safe culture. And that's what they're working on. And we've been doing it, as you know, at the league level as well for all the clubs. And training for all clubs with Shelton Kennedy's Respect Group is starting in March. So I just think it was an emotional moment borne out on something that I know has weighed very heavily on Rocky. And I think the town hall and what he was really focused on was, how do we take all these things we're doing to move forward? And I just think this was just pent-up frustration, and he apologized promptly.
And that was not a real apology.
Everything Bettman said about what they're doing, Wirtz could have said.
That's
Why
exactly
didn't he
right.
just say the wellness thing?
The biggest mistake was Rocky interrupting Danny. That's the biggest mistake.
You're probably right. Well, and everything else that came out of his mouth. But it started with interrupting Danny.
Right. He snapped back at Lazarus. But if Danny jumped in and Rocky would have shut up, this would have been a different conversation.
Yeah, he could have just answered the question the way Bettman just did. That's why we're trying to dig deeper to what was going on in his head.
Because we can't just guess. We need to hear it from them.
And it's not like he's been, and here's the other thing, last point, as a reporter, it's not like he's been facing the media for weeks on end on this.
Right.
Once in a blue moon, he talks.
Right.
It's not like he's been hammered with questions
one
daily.
One shot and he failed
It'd be
enough.
One thing if every day he's asked about it, and after a month he's like, I've had enough.
Right, absolutely.
This is why we did this town hall, to get these questions.
Believe me, they better feel the reverberations of this.
And think about from a fan standpoint, too. Like, there is no sport in America that has more fringe fair weather fans than hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And you were starting to build up a little bit of goodwill, get a little bit of trust back from the fan base, and now everyone's backing out.
That's exactly right. And we talked about, Tyler, we had talked when this whole thing broke, are people going to stay with the Hawks? There were a lot of people that showed frustration, but then they started winning and they started putting distance behind, and then they solved, you know, they worked through the lawsuit and everything. It was in a place of moving forward.
Yep.
And he set it back. Billy is in Berwyn. He wants to jump in about Mr. Wirtz, Mr. Rocky Wirtz. Hey there, Billy. You're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I keep hearing the same sort of thing echoed by multiple people. There must have been something else going on. He must have been having a bad day, something like that. I think the way that he answered the question kind of cues you in that he's uncomfortable by it.
Yes.
And if it's that uncomfortable, like, what else has not been exposed yet? Which is kind of what this whole thing is about, right?
Right.
It's about the fact that there was no transparency and the fact that, like, wait a minute, who was covering up what and who knew what when? And I think when you start uncovering that, you might hit a nerve. And I think that's what happened.
Yeah, maybe yeah, right. Maybe it's just all being defensive.
Yeah, right. And the thing with he had something against Laz and Thompson, that's BS. I mean,
I don't buy that either.
Right.
I don't buy that
And I wasn't happy about the guys on the TNT panel making that connection. That's
well,
ridiculous.
I think they were trying
to make sense of something.
Like I was just saying, you know, joking about his favorite TV show being, because you just, it was so bizarre, you trying to find other reasons for it. But maybe you're right, Billy. Maybe it's just him getting defensive.
But, yeah, if it's that bizarre, do you not go back and question and be like, put a hand on a shoulder and be like, hey, man, what's really going on? Right. Like, is there something you need to tell us that you haven't told us yet? Is there something weighing on your heart that you're lashing out at questions that ideally should put yourself and your organization in a better position going forward? Like, wow, look at what we've done.
Right, and that question was all about giving them a chance to say, yes, we've done this, yes, we've done that, and everybody could have been a hero. And Rocky made himself a zero. Just like that.
Yeah.
Billy and Berwyn, thank you. We appreciate it. 312-332-3776. We'll be right back. We'll hit upon some of the things we talked about today, wrap things up before we get out of here at noon. It's Jesse Rogers and Mark Zander. This is ESPN 1000.
This hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. Tickets for the Aer Lingus College Football Classic in Dublin, Ireland are on sale now. Head to nusports.com for details.
Tied at 64. Here's Bailey. Down the lane. Loses the handle. Metoyer for three, and he knocks it down. Sierra Canyon wins. Metoyer coming through. Trailblazers, they win the ball game 67-64. Fans are stunned in Chicago.
What a shot. Open look. We told you Bailey going down the lane, but I would assume he's going to go to Bronny James. He goes left corner. Bang!
Dylan Metoyer coming through, the 6'1 guard. And Sierra Canyon wins 67-64. Let's take a look at this again.
Well, here he comes, what we thought, down the lane. There's your open look, and he drills it. I mean, he had a defender flying at him in Bobby Durkin. Bobby Durkin's a big, tall kid, 6'7". He got a hand up. Tip your cap. That's a heck of a shot by Dylan Metoyer to win it.
I would have airballed it.
Wait, no take that. There's no take that in there. I was waiting for the payoff. It's Jesse and Xander just about to wrap things up here.
That
on
was good in cap,
1000.
By the way,
and
if, you that, didn't know, yeah. if you didn't know.
Right.
You see the big man who gave it a little love, a little
LeBron.
Retweet?
Yeah, LeBron tweeted that that call out. That's pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah. Here's a shot or no shot for you guys. Now that LeBron has tweeted this out, shot or no shot, Cap might change his tune tomorrow on the show that LeBron is the greatest ever.
He's going to come toward that. I don't know if he's going to
he's going to jump right in.
Both feet. I'm saying one foot. You're saying both
shot
feet.
Shot or no shot, that's played over 10 times tomorrow.
Shot.
Yeah. Definitely shot. On the hour. On the half hour.
On the quarter hour. On the quarter hour. That's going to be the rejoin every time.
That's a good call. That's a good call. It's a great finish. Great finish. That's the kind of finish you want if you're a broadcast team like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Some of the hardest games to call are the blowouts, obviously.
Right. Yeah. They didn't have that.
Then you got to start going Jason Benetti-like.
Right. Exactly.
Which I love Jason.
Yeah. That was at Wintrust Arena. Is that right, Tyler?
Yeah, that was at Wintrust. There were two games. My alma mater, Glenbrook South, took down Curie in the first game. And
congrats.
Then it was the Sierra Canyon, Glenbard West, and there's a lot of really good players on both of those teams. Like, you had guys that Amari Bailey, he's going to UCLA. Mm-hmm. On the other side for Glenbard West, they've got a kid, I believe, that's going to Gonzaga as well. So there was some really high-level basketball at Wintrust last night.
Yeah, it was a good call, good games as well, good finish for sure. Anyway, speaking of finish, we're almost out of here, and I have to arranging my day to get home. Watch the Bulls and the Sixers, just like I used to do.
Yeah.
Everything else is
out of the way.
Right. None of that.
Right.
No housework. None of that.
Uh-huh.
Just like the old days with MJ. Sunday afternoon, get some chips and dip, go watch the Bulls and Sixers.
What kind of chips and dip? What's your go-to dip?
I'll probably go with some salsa. You know, that you're mild. I'm not a spicy kind of guy, so I go with some mild Tostitos or whatever.
Yeah.
Chips.
Last week I actually made the thing that a lot of people have at different Super Bowl parties, whatever. The cream cheese and then the chili and then the cheese on top. You put that in the oven. You have it with the big dip Fritos.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
No, it's
More work than I'm willing to do.
Wow, okay.
I turn the salsa jar and I dip.
Okay. It is more work than that.
Not putting anything in the oven.
Perhaps. Okay. All right. Fair enough, but it's an easy recipe.
Yes. And, so are you going to do that today?
I just may.
All right.
I just may. That it's always a good excuse to make something like that. Levine is questionable for today, as is Kobe White.
Yeah, my gut feeling says Levine plays. I don't know about White, but I could be wrong about both of them.
Well, we need all we can get,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. This is a good team. This high-caliber team playing good basketball, though they've lost two in a row. So this will be a good test without some of the Bulls.
Well, you know what happens, right? When a team loses two in a row and they shouldn't, they get angry.
Yeah.
Then they can get tough. Now they haven't
gotten
blown out.
Or the skid continues. I don't know.
Well, yeah. It's always a 50-50
hopeful
proposition.
Thinking here. Wishful thinking that this continues. Ben Simmons isn't back or anything, right? We're good still there?
I think so.
Okay.
By the way, another little tidbit for today's game. If the Bulls win, that would make Billy Donovan the all-star coach for the East.
I did not know that.
Well, I'm rooting for him in every sense of the way. I really like what he's brought to this team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So they win, he's the coach. Because
lose, then it'll be Spoelstra.
They're the top seed on this day when they decide
those several
things.
Reasons to be rooting for the Bulls, obviously.
Well, I mean, maybe he wants a vacation. We don't know. But, it'd be nice to see.
Well, it's a nice honor, right?
Yes.
It's not like the football Pro Bowl.
Yes. Because if there were no games today, he'd be the guy because they're percentage points ahead of Miami, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does Miami play today?
They do not.
So it's winning, he's in, losing, he's out.
All right, Jesse, it's been a slice.
Yes, good seeing you, my friend.
Good to see you, too.
Talk to you soon.
Jesse Rogers and Mark Xander here on ESPN 1000. Stay tuned.
From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio, the home of the Chicago White Sox, this is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago.